You read the Bible, Greg.
Talking to me?
Come along, Samwise. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's pastor.
So what you want?
Jesus freak.
I got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 National Scouts.
Start see pictures, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
You're like third Corona scare, Chris?
Yes.
Are you using a mic?
Yes, it is.
There you go. Is it a karaoke mic?
No, it's the same mic. I just don't have anything hooked up to it. Melissa's laughing at me because she feels like I'm
too badass, I think.
I mean, she's laughing. She's like, wow, his dick is so huge.
That's exactly why. That's most of the time what I assume when people are laughing at me. I'm just like, huh. They must just remember how fucking tight my butthole is or something.
Yep.
I can't disagree with that.
Wow, you've seen my butthole, Jake? Gay.
I've only seen your butt courtesy of Alyssa's photography.
Oh shit, have you seen my butthole?
Yeah, you send it to us.
I didn't send you the butthole, though. I send you the butt. You want me to spread cheek next time?
Yeah. That's what friends are for.
See, there we go. That's gonna be my new That's gonna be my new image for your phone, for your contact, Chris.
That's fucking sick.
New screensaver?
Yeah, guys, I thought it would just be funny if we all sent each other our asses. So, like, you guys should send me pictures of your ass. Wouldn't that be so funny?
That would be hilarious. Yeah, I'm going to set this as your new, your little pic for my phone.
Change the photo for the Film and Loathing podcast to my ass. So it's not that little slapboard anymore.
I mean, we'll probably get more one-star reviews, but...
I think we would get a lot more people who are intrigued, though.
I still can't believe Alyssa took this picture.
I know.
You have a huge crack. Has anyone ever told you that? that's at least like a foot-long crack in your butt.
Oh, let me see it one more time.
Do you think Alyssa uses that for her own personal spank bank?
Dude, that is a big crack.
It's huge.
Dude, I've got a big ass.
Do you think it's grown since you were younger?
Do
you think it's grown since you were younger?
Obviously, dude. I didn't have a foot-long crack when I came out of the womb. I would have been all ass at that point.
I mean, like, proportionally, like, wise. Like, you know how, like, you get, like, a crack in a windshield, and then it just continually just, like, grows and grows and grows?
No, I think I've had...
your experience?
I think I've had a foot-long crack my entire life.
Chris's crack has gotten bigger with each passing freeze-thaw cycle.
I've just recently grown into my ass crack size. You should have seen me when I was, like, 10.
Dude, do not ever get a car with heated seats. It's just going to make the problem worse. You're going to be constantly freezing and thawing.
Dude, that's a nice ass, though. I got to say.
You're giving yourself props.
Dude, of course I am, dude. I've got a nice ass.
Well, that's true. No one else is going to.
Yeah, can we bring Alyssa in here? Can we ask her?
If she is going to give me props on my ass?
Yeah, let's say Zach and I each get a minute apiece to interview Alyssa about your ass.
1 minute to interview, 1 minute to cross-examine.
You want to cross-examine too? Shit, dude. Listen, don't act like you guys haven't added that to your mental spank bank already. I know you wouldn't, like, save it to an incognito folder in case somebody, like,
accidentally stumbled upon it one day, but like
I've got this filed away under
Chris's ass.
No, I've got this. I got this filed away on my computer under 2015 tax return folder.
I'm gonna set that as Alyssa's background on her phone. I think.
Nice.
You should set it on her background on her computer, so she opens it up in class, like not even knowing, and then there it is.
She'll be at work. Like no, she'll open it up at clinicals over at the hospital, and she'll open it up and. Fucking one of the radiology techs who's teaching her will be like, dude, nice ass.
Zach, what's your work schedule on Thursday?
6 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Woo, it's a long day. I think mom's present will be delivered on Thursday.
Maybe.
So be on the lookout for it so that you can swap out her gift for the Juicy J album.
I'm literally on the lookout for nothing. Their mailbox is like a mile away.
Their mailbox is a mile away?
Well, I mean, not exactly a mile, but it's at least 0.2 miles.
In mic distance, it's a mile?
That seems hyperbolic.
No, you can measure it out when you're here.
So it's 1,000 feet away?
At least, yeah.
Why, where is it?
Like around the corner.
Like around the corner of the building or around the corner of the block?
I mean, I wouldn't really call this a block, but.
You're telling me Mike's not doing parkour over those buildings to get the mail every day?
I'm telling you he's not doing anything.
Shit. You gotta hit up Mike.
Yeah, he's the one you should talk to.
Are you going to do a card trick for us? Is this what you're preparing?
I'm not really preparing anything. I'm more just breaking the deck in.
Why'd you get a deck of cards?
I'm going to get really good at sleight of hand card tricks and cardistry.
Fuck, shit's on me for wanting to learn guitar. I'm gonna learn fucking card tricks.
Yeah, you learn the guitar is never gonna happen. I get extremely dedicated to things for about 3 weeks, so it is possible that I could learn a card trick in that time.
Well, listen, I can play the intro to Breakfast at Tiffany's, so that's about even.
It's very hard.
Okay, then play it.
Give me your guitar.
Fuck, I'll bring it over to you.
I'll be right there.
I'll get my fushigi and we'll bring it right over. We can easily.
Now we're talking. Tricks. Now we're talking.
Dude, fushigi was the shit. Does that happen to you, Jake?
What?
Do you ever get like these sudden bursts of these small interests that flame away in like 3 weeks?
Oh, this is it.
Oh, is that
do I get bursts of entertainment? Things that only I'm interested in for 3 weeks?
Yeah, like do you like get interested in things, stick with them for 3 weeks, and then be like, I'm not interested in it anymore.
I guess not.
Shit, dude, you gotta get in the life, man.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
I don't know. I guess I don't, Chris. I'm sorry.
Dude, if I had a collection of all the things that I was into for 3 weeks and had them all just in one room, I think I would need more than one room.
If I had all the money of things I spent on that I was only interested in for about 3 weeks, I'd probably have a good $6,000.
I don't think I'd have that much, but somewhere near it. It sucks that the things I always fucking want are so expensive.
What do you want so badly?
Well, I wanted the guitar, but the cheapest one I could find was like $230.
So right there.
So I bought it.
You're not gonna put it on your dad's Christmas list?
No, I gave my dad a Christmas list. I had no idea what to ask him for, so I asked him for like a circular saw and.
Yeah, ask him for a deck of cards. I got these at Walmart. They're plastic. Oh, the case. They're $8. It's the best 8 months I've ever spent. They're terrible for doing card tricks. They're too slippery. But
I feel like I could just buy a deck of cards. Like, I wouldn't need to get some for
Christmas. Wait, so how are you going to do sleight of hand tricks with a terrible deck of cards that are bad for tricks?
Well, I bought 8 decks of cards.
Did you watch Now You See Me? This is why.
I hate that fucking movie.
It's not as good.
Wasn't there a time you loved that movie?
No.
I love it.
It's more like my obsession with David Blaine.
That's fair.
I could have swore there was a time when you were really into that movie.
I don't think there was. I saw it in theaters. Maybe that's what you're referring to.
Maybe.
That is the only time I've ever seen it.
Huh.
Is that how you're going to make your money when you get your van on the road? You're just going to do card tricks in Vegas?
Because they're definitely fake. David Blaine's tricks aren't fake.
There's a guy that I currently work with. I think he's about to get fired. But he does card tricks, magic tricks for a living.
Okay. I'm not interested in magic tricks. I'm interested in card tricks.
Well, I think most of his are revolving card tricks, but
I think we just jumped over the fact that you said that this guy was going to get fired.
Yeah, if you don't know him, who cares? He's going to get fired.
I just want to know, why is he going to get fired?
It's just not very. It's not that he's bad at his job per se. It's that he just does the bare minimum and is not really advancing.
Okay. Wow, I would have been fired a long time ago.
Yes, you would have, Zach. and it's getting slower. And so it's there's no real reason to keep him around.
Dude, I don't really believe in God, but I've been praying to get laid off.
Why don't you just quit? You're an idiot.
If I get laid off, I can collect unemployment. If I quit, I can't.
But you still have other jobs, so how are you going to collect unemployment?
I'm hoping to get fired from both of them.
You're an idiot.
And I'll be the manager.
Oh, shit. By the way, Zach, I have, after I take my math test this week, I've got 2 days until, or I've got 5 weeks until I'm done, or I have to get back to school for the second semester. So what I'm planning on doing is
explains to me how.
What?
I was waiting for you to get to the point where this mattered to me.
All right, so 5 weeks. I have a 5 week gap between semesters. So okay. In that 5 week, I'm gonna write a short movie. I'm gonna plan it out. I'm gonna film it. And I was wondering if you were in.
To star in it?
I mean, if you want. I guess I was kind of gonna do it myself, but fuck me, right?
Is this one character?
I could probably do something. I mean, I don't have an idea. I was going to do everything within 5 weeks.
That's a time crunch. Do it.
Yeah. You can do it. I did mine in 2 weeks.
Oh, your bear one?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I can do that.
You're about a guy that's really into card tricks.
I could just make a documentary on your 3 week escapades with cards.
That's true. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that would be cool. A documentary about a failing sleight of hand magician.
I feel like that's funny. That's a comedy waiting to happen. What's the back of the cards look like? Do they have naked ladies on them?
No, but I do have. Kevin has some that are like that.
That's badass. Cool.
You should get really good at sleight of hand, but then do the Andy Kaufman approach, where you do a couple really bad tricks, and people are just like, this guy sucks. And then you blow everyone's mind with a great trick.
Don't worry, I have one up my sleeve.
I mean, you don't have sleeves.
Pun intended.
Oh, this is the bad trick, right?
Don't worry, I got some tricks. I've been learning the double card flip. It's pretty fucking impressive.
Is that the one where you flick it over from one pile to the other in midair?
No, you're
talking about where you pinch two cards together, so you show one, then when you put it back down, then you draw the top one, and it's a different one, essentially?
Exactly. It allows you to keep their card on deck, on the top, and then, still bury one within the deck, so they think that you've, buried their card.
Sounds like some David Blaine type shit.
It's really fucking hard, but it's it's considered like the first thing that you should learn, because in almost any trick, it's like what you use.
What about
it's like you have to do basically what you have to basically like stack the deck, which basically means you keep their card on either top or bottom, and then from there you can do whatever you want to do with the deck.
Could you like
a million different ways to switch up the deck without ever changing the top or the bottom card?
Could you like do a card trick and then tell me to cut open an orange and then have it in the middle of the orange?
I don't know how to do that.
Fuck, dude. Apparently you're not good at this yet.
Have you ever thought about, like really thought about David Blaine's card tricks?
They're insane.
Like, well, have you ever thought about, like, the logistics? Like, do you think a lot of it's pre-staged somehow?
Yeah, it has to be.
Like, he, like, inserts a card into an orange and then guarantees that your card is the card that he put into the orange so that it, like, completes the illusion.
There's also, like, one thing that I've learned, and then I went back and watched some of his tricks. So there's a couple tricks that he does where he says a black nine. He does not specify the suit. So it's quite possible that he staged one of the suits beforehand and then like kind of leads you into picking the other black nine. And then because you don't say the suit, you're never going to remember what the suit was.
Okay. I remember like watching one of his specials and he like riffled the deck in front of the camera and was just like, I'll pick the card that you he's like riffling through the deck, and then he's like as he's doing it, he's just like, think of a card as I'm riffling through it. So I was like watching it, like him doing it. So then I saw a card, so then I was like, oh, this like Queen of Clubs. And all of a sudden he like whips out the Queen of Clubs and like puts it up to the camera. So I was like, what? Like, how the fuck could you do that? Been thinking about it, it's got to be something where like through riffling the deck, like you're essentially like you're going through it quick enough. And for like a split second, he must like just go a slight bit longer on that card so that that's what your brain registers. And then that's what he's pulling out.
Could be.
Could you like tell somebody to check their ass and then pull out their card?
Dude, not yours. The card wouldn't stay in there. It's too big.
That's a solid crack, man. I never really like inspected my ass before, but.
Your ass crack is like a pin pad at the grocery store.
Oh, man. Slide your card through it, dude. I'll take your money.
Yeah.
Oh, no, dude. I don't. What are those fucking things called that you plug in that people can slide their card?
The Square app?
Oh, yeah, dude. I don't have the Square app. Just here.
Swipe it in my ass. Trust me, it works the exact same. I don't have the chip yet, so you do have to swipe. Oh fuck,
I can't wait till you get to the point, Zach, where someone's license says 5 foot ace of spades.
Dude, the thing is, like, when you start learning how they do all these things, you feel like an idiot because you're like, fuck, dude, like,
yeah. But suspension of disbelief, you want to be fooled.
Well, dude, I never want to learn magic tricks.
What are they saying? He says something like that in The Prestige. Like, you want to be fooled, so you suspend your disbelief.
One of the guys that I've, like, been watching a lot, he said the first lesson in doing card tricks is just being really good at talking to the audience. Because there's so many things that you can set up and do while you're talking to them that they're not paying attention to.
Sure.
So, like, if you're not good at talking to people, you'll never be a good... You'll never be good at card tricks.
Count me out. Fucking done. I couldn't help but mention my ass. So.
And I've been looking into cardistry, which is like people that like do crazy shit with cards.
Like the guys who do like the fucking trippy shit?
Yeah.
Those guys are insane. Just
like spin them around on their fingers and like it's really hard.
That I see that type of shit, and I think that'd be cool to learn. I know one magic trick. It doesn't involve a full deck. It involves 21 cards, but...
You make three piles, and then the 11th card is the...
Yeah. I know that one.
That was pretty easy.
I used to do, like, there was a time in high school, late middle school, early high school, where I was, like, really into card tricks. So I definitely watched, like, a ton of YouTube videos and was trying to learn different tricks.
I'm learning one that makes it look like that, like, so it's called the two queens. So you take the two red queens, right? You set them aside, then you have someone pick a card, and then basically you work the deck so that their card is on the bottom, and then you place this queen like that and this queen like that, and then you, like, you throw the card so there's you keep three cards in this hand, but then you throw the rest of the deck into the other hand, so it looks like you just pulled their card out of the deck, and then, like, it is the card that they chose. And it's like, the trick is, like, these queens help me find your card.
There was a really cool one I knew where, like, it was essentially, like, doing, like, double flips and just, like, maneuvering cards around. But it was, like, telling a story about, like, queens or something. Like, I can't remember exactly how it went, but essentially, like, you had these, like, hands and, like, you would flip them around. And, like, basically how you would, like, shuffle it around and flip it around, they all had this story. And I think I did it for, like, a public speaking demonstration, and everybody's mind was blown.
Yeah, I mean, if you're good at talking to people, it's really easy to, like, cut the deck in the air and then, like, basically just keep it in the exact same order that it was in.
Do you do, like, hand exercises when you're at work? Like, do you have one of those squeezy things so you can get good at shuffling?
No, dude, I literally just have a deck of cards and I just shuffle constantly.
Do you do that at work?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And I, like, put it in my hand like that and then just, like, work it around.
Dang, that's intense stuff. How good at your shuffling are you?
I'm pretty fucking good at shuffling.
Yeah?
How long have you been doing this?
About 4 days.
Are you good enough at shuffling that you'd be my personal dealer for blackjack or poker? Yeah.
If you went to the Hollywood casino, could you be one of those guys behind the counter?
Dude, I would just try to, like, hustle them. All right, if I can pick your card, I win $20.
Have you guys gone to the casino and, like, played, like, cards?
No. Yeah. There was a while there when I lived in Hamden where I was going, like, once or twice a week.
I really want to do it.
It's fun. I like it. I like playing blackjack. I would go, and there was, like, some months where I would do pretty decent and I'd pay my rent with it.
That's the move, guy. You can only pay your rent on money you win from gambling.
Yeah, well, I would go in with, like, $20-$40. I was, like, worst case scenario, you know? It's money I would have spent on something else anyways. So I'd go in there with $20-$40.
Look at your rent money like that.
Yeah.
That's just as money I would have spent on rent. Who cares?
Yeah, I want to take, like, $500 and go in and play.
Oh, fuck. I don't think I could do that. I wouldn't have the balls to put $500 on the table.
It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
I mean, exactly. There are, like, set rules, you know? Especially when it comes to blackjack, like, there's things that you always bet on, things that you always stick on, things that you always double down. Like, there's a whole lot of rules that go along with it. The only one that there is no rule for is 16.
What do you do on 16? Do you stay?
You hit every time or you stay every time? Like, you have to commit to one. But, like, everything else, it's like, if the dealer's showing a 10 or above, you always have to assume that the card underneath it is a 10. So if you have an 18 and if you're showing a 10 or below, always hit. Only split on eights and aces. Don't split on a 10 because that's almost a sure win. The only thing I don't understand is doubling down.
Chris, these all sound made up.
They're not made up. Like, these are legit rules.
I'm going to be very good at blackjack, but I would like to take like some money and go play like poker.
First of all, Chris,
I never tried to get on the table.
There are no rules.
Is it hard to get on the table, or there just has to be enough people playing?
Well, it depends on how many tables they have active that night. Like, there are some nights where they have like two or three tables, and then it's not that difficult to get on. But there are nights where they have one table active, and you have to get put on a list, and then they announce you over the speakerphone so that you can go play poker at that point.
Mm. You know what the buy-in is?
I have no idea. Like it all fluctuates depending on what's going on. I remember at the blackjack tables, the highest table was usually $50 a hand minimum. But when Elton John came to town, there was a table that was $1,000 a hand minimum.
Damn.
Yeah. I remember sitting there at like the $10 hand and being like, fuck that.
I'll go in before you. And when I put my arms behind my back like this, that means the deck is hot. You come in, bet big, win big.
Oh, shit. They do have those like old school ones, because there's like different kinds of blackjack, or different rules as to how much you win and when. So
if next time I'm in Maine, Chris, will you go play poker with me?
I won't play poker. I'll stand with you while you play poker. I'm fucking terrible. I'm the worst poker player. I do blackjack.
I'll play blackjack with you.
I'll fuck it up with some blackjack.
The most important thing to remember, the house always wins.
Generally speaking, yes. But if you're smart like me, no.
Exactly.
Sooner or later, the house always wins.
I mean, don't sit there all day. Like, there are these guys that I would go in, and I'd see them every single time that I went.
I saw a Cam. The only time I ever went to the casino – no, sorry, I've been twice. I think it might have been for your birthday, Zach, when we went right before I moved to Colorado. I think I saw Cam Amoroso's mom there. And I think she was, like, definitely half drunk, like, definitely playing some blackjack.
Oh, never get a drink, by the way.
Why?
Dude, because that clouds your judgment.
Chris, you don't understand. Like, I'm just looking to go spend my money foolishly. I'm not looking to...
Club soda and act drunk so that they think that it's just drunk luck.
No, dude.
Really, your counting cards.
No, the dealer wants you to win. They genuinely do. The dealer wants you to win.
Why? Could you tip them out?
Yeah, well, they make some of their money off of tips. Plus, like, they're getting paid hourly anyways. So it doesn't really matter to them. And the casino has a sure enough formula to make their money. So it doesn't matter to them what they do. If the dealers are on your side, chances are people are going to feel more comfortable coming to sit at the table anyways.
Excuse me, sir. I will never tip a blackjack.
I would. Like in James Bond when he slides like $500,000 like little token across the table or whatever it is.
No fucking way.
You're tipping someone to do the job that a machine could do. All he's doing is dealing out cards that have been pre-shuffled for him.
Let me guess. You're the type of person, Zach, that doesn't tip your delivery driver because you could have picked it up yourself.
Never tip someone for a job you could do yourself.
Whatever, Mr. Pink. Fuck you.
I don't order delivery because I'm not lazy.
Yeah, I don't tip. See this? The world's smallest violin. I don't tip.
Do you guys want to start doing... Do you remember like when it was super hot when we were young, everybody was playing like full tilt poker and stuff online?
Dude, I could really get into online gambling. A way for me to blow lots of money and not leave the house.
Yeah, do you guys want to get into that?
I mean, like, dude, it would be even better now,
because, like, before we had to lie about our age, now we could actually play with real money.
I know, because I remember there were, like, tables where it would be, like, a dollar, and I'm thinking as a kid, like, whoa, a dollar.
You just lost
now,
I get five
now
dollars
I'm
a
like,
week.
Now I'm like, fuck it.
We'll
throw $20 on that. Is this thing still going? Like, can you still get full tilt poker? Yeah, you can. Real money, baby. That's what I want.
The amount of addicts that are on that website, there's no way they ever go out of business.
Well, it's also probably people that, like, really know what they're doing.
No, those guys are probably actually going to a casino.
I think Full Tilt is really meant for, like, gambling addicts.
Perfect. I'm not one yet, but I'd love to be one.
I mean, like, the casinos, they're structured weird. They, like, in the state of Maine, they legally can't have an ATM on the casino floor. That's why it's always in the lobby. They won't put a clock in there so people don't know how long they've actually been in there. And it's specifically designed with flashing lights in certain places to keep you firing, like, keep your brain fucking boom, 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 boom all the time.
Well, yeah, it's a genius.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, it genuinely is, but...
Oh shit, dude! I just went to full tip poker. I don't even know. For some reason, United States is not on their list of countries. Did this just get banned? Did Trump ban this or something?
I mean, it's probably there. Probably is some weird laws about like it's illegal to gamble money online.
Yeah, it just says real money deposits and withdrawals, and it's like select your country to read about the money transaction law, and there's literally no United States.
I'm going to set up foreign bank accounts.
Yes, for real. I'm trying to set up my Yemen bank account. What the hell? That's fucking crazy.
If it wasn't for fucking Janet Mills, I'd be betting on fucking basketball games and hockey games. And
dude, I'd be betting on sports every single week. I'd have every Sunday.
So many debts. My boss at the restaurant, Steve, said he could get me in touch with a real bookie. And I was like, yes, but...
Oh, dude. Okay.
Sorry, I want you to know how tempting this offer actually is.
Dude, yes, so I don't do think... want his number, but...
So I don't think Full Tilt Poker is allowed to operate in the United States anymore for whatever.
It's probably not the best.
I can go to 888. I can go to 888 Poker.
There you go.
Or World Series. Or World Series of Poker.
Go to the World Series.
That was legit.
Get one of those cool bracelets. There's a guy on Masterclass who teaches a poker one.
Dude, I don't know if you can you really teach that? Like, okay, obviously there's like people whose brains just work in a certain way. Where like because of what is being shown, they can kind of really quickly figure out what is still left to come up and like their odds of winning based on that. But like my brain just does not work like that.
I think it'd be harder to play online because like, I think part of it really is like being able to like read people and like knowing the habits of people.
Maybe you could play on like a Zoom session.
That'd be cool. Like if we all got like we all joined a group and they're like, all right, guys, let's Zoom. I want to see your faces.
I mean, we got to have like a date and a time so I can buy a cigar. I have to get a pair of shades and a cowboy hat. I need to get a necklace. Like these are all essential things.
I would get like the green visor with the yellow glasses and then just chain smoke.
Not even like the regular green visor. It has that clear kind of like plasticky visor.
I would get the extra long ones.
Can you smoke in the casino?
No.
Bummer, dude.
I don't smoke indoors in any.
Next time I'm in Maine, we're gonna.
When's the last time you've been indoors where you were allowed to smoke?
Good point. I just thought maybe they bent the rules in casinos. Like you step into a lawless land.
The Ramada is really the only place I can think of.
Next time I'm in Maine, we're gonna go to the casino. I'm gonna dress like, I'm from Fear and Loathing. Raul. I'm gonna have like Johnny Depp. I'm gonna have the big sunglasses and the white hat.
I'll dress like Matt Damon from Rounders.
Okay, there you go.
I'm gonna dress like Tom Cruise from Rain Man.
Not Dustin Hoffman.
No. It could be Alan from Hangover.
Who I think just mirrors the outfit worn from Rain Man.
That's fucking right. I totally forgot they did that bit. I gotta watch that movie again. See if it holds up. It probably
doesn't.
Yeah,
I watched it a few months ago.
It's not bad.
I still found it funny.
I just can't imagine it's as funny as I thought it was in, like, eighth grade.
I don't think any movie you watch when you're nine is as funny as you remember it being.
Okay, that is not true. I guarantee that if I watched Hubie Halloween when I was nine, I would have found it as funny today.
You can't say I would imagine that if I watched this current movie when I was nine, I would still find it funny. It has to be a movie from when you were nine.
Okay, I'll tell you a movie that's still funny from when I was nine. Shrek.
Master of Disguise.
It's like the movies that like can be catered to a young child but also an adult in different ways.
Okay, and this different doesn't jokes. That category, but I mean Bad Boys 2 is still funny from when I was nine.
Definitely Bad Boys 2.
Yeah, but a nine-year-old, that movie was never meant for a nine-year-old.
Hey, I didn't say I had a great parent. I just said I watched Bad Boys 2.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I did too, but I saw Bad Boys 2 before I saw Bad Boys 1.
Same.
Living on the fucking edge.
I know. Good shit, though.
He killed himself, mama. Very sad. Great movie.
What other movies came out when I was nine that were comedies?
I definitely think Austin Powers is still pretty funny.
I don't.
Really?
I haven't get through it.
I haven't seen Goldmember in a while. But that one was always my favorite.
Dude, The Longest Yard. I bet I'd still find that just as funny.
Okay, well, Adam Sandler,
He's timeless. He's fucking timeless.
The guy has gold.
You know what came out in 2005? The Ringer.
Oof.
There's no way.
I don't know if that's okay to even watch anymore.
Ringer? No.
Wedding Crashers. That would still be just as funny to
me. No, it's not as good anymore.
Oh, come on. It has to be.
It doesn't have to be, and it's not.
That's terrible.
What year did Shrek come out? 2001. Okay. So I was seven. Hilarious. Yeah, all these movies from like the early 2000s are just not very good.
Sahara, that Matthew McConaughey movie. Like we're searching school, for the gold.
Old School, Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty Bad was Santa, dynamite.
Bringing Down the House. Dumber and Dumber-er. Malibu's Most Wanted.
Hoodwinked came out in 2005. I remember going to Fairmount to watch that when they had the movie premiere night and they were selling like candy and stuff.
You know, I bet School of Rock is still pretty good though.
School of Rock is still amazing.
Bad Boys 2 came out in 2003. Okay, so yep. Kangaroo Jack, I bet that's still funny.
I watched a little bit of that the other day and it's hard. It's a hard watch. I'm sorry, man.
That's a bummer.
That's a big thank bummer. You for Smoking came out in 2005. Shit.
What about I'm trying to think. Role Models doesn't hold up.
I didn't suspect that would. That's 2008.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith came out in 2005.
Gold.
I was never that crazy about it.
Fever Pitch. I'm not surprised. Shit, I remember watching that one when it came out and being like, oh, this movie's awesome. Boston Red Sox are awesome. And then I watched it when I was like 20, and I was like, shit, dude, Jimmy Fallon sucks. It's terrible.
Dude, speaking of the Red Sox, even though he doesn't play for the Red Sox, do you see the Mookie Betts contract?
No, what's that look like?
10 years, $500 million.
Fuck off, dude.
For the Dodgers?
Yeah.
How much of that is all guaranteed, right?
In baseball, it's all guaranteed.
That's crazy. Pat Mahomes. Like, that's the Pat Mahomes contract, except better.
Except he's getting not guaranteed to get $500 million.
No, he's guaranteed to get like $125 million. Like, that's what people don't realize about that contract. Granted, it's $125 million or something.
Yeah, it's a massive contract, but like it's all performance based. He has to do X, Y, and Z to get that money.
he probably has to win the Super Bowl like every single year.
Mookie Betts really just has to be in the league for 10 years and he's going to get $500 million.
Doesn't even need to be in the league, probably. Like those, that guy who got like the 30-year contract with like the fucking Mets or something. And he was paid. You know what I'm talking about?
He gets paid once a year on a certain day.
Yeah, every year. And he hasn't played for them for like 10 years.
I think Manny Ramirez still gets paid by his team or something like that.
Here's what I don't understand, right? So like, he's worth that money now. But you signed him for 10 years. In 10 years, he's not going to be producing $50 million a year. Like, he's not going to be producing those kind of stats in 10 years.
No, but that's the going rate, dude. Like, there's
Is that a record-breaking contract?
It would be, yeah, since it's all guaranteed.
Gotta be, okay.
Mike Trout must have a huge contract.
His is like $300 million.
How old is Mookie Betts?
26.
Yeah, but
at 36,
yeah, but it's baseball. Like, they age, they're able to perform into their mid to late 30s if they want.
I would agree with you if he was a DH, but he plays in the National League. There is no DH.
Yeah, I was looking at this right now, and the largest contract in MLB history, it's telling me, is Bryce Harper. 13 years, $330 million.
It's quite possible that their deal is not finalized yet, but he has agreed to a 10-year, $500 million contract.
I would agree to that shit, too. Like, to do almost anything.
That's, like, the greatest outcome, though. Like, you get to live in L.A. It's the Dodgers. 500 mil? Like, that's a win-win-win.
You go to the World
Series. Until California falls off the friggin' country in about...
Well, then you just take your multi-million dollars and move to Washington or something. Go play for the Mariners or something. Finish out your career.
Elon Musk and other big tech companies have moved their companies to Texas to pay less in taxes. So now they'll come after you more for more money in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
What a great time to be Mookie Betts.
Hey, dude, you should go play for the Rangers. There's no state income tax in Texas.
That's why I'd play for the Rangers. These are the things baseball players aren't thinking about.
I mean, that's why Dallas is such a hot team. Like, nobody wants to be like, oh, I love the terrible Dallas Cowboys. They're so good. Wink,
wink. Like, I get big money and no income tax.
Exactly. I love the Dallas Cowboys because all their players are very smart for playing in a state with no income tax.
Smartest team.
Colorado just voted to decrease the state income tax.
To what, 0%?
No, it only got decreased like 0.1% or something like that.
How lucky are you guys?
Putting money right back into taxpayers' pockets.
Lucky am I?
That penny and a half a month. I'm sorry, 4 pennies a month because you get paid on a monthly basis.
Well, it's enough. Yeah, dude, I'm about to put like a couple like $100 in my pocket every month.
Yeah. Shit. When you say it that way, it makes me seem stupid.
Yeah. Well, Chris, you usually do.
Oh, man. I couldn't get paid once a month. I wouldn't trust myself.
It's really not that hard, actually.
We've been over like exactly what you would do. As soon as you get your paycheck, you pay your bills for the month, and then whatever is left over is what you have to survive on for the month.
See, but that's exactly the thing, is that
it's
like,
not that hard.
I wouldn't trust myself because I get paid for the month, and then I'd look down the line and I'd be like, I bet I could be a little late on rent, right? Like, I could spring this.
If I don't pay that one, then when I get my next month's paycheck, I could just pay it twice.
Exactly.
And buy this $230 guitar right now.
I gotta say, your hobby is less expensive, but in the way, like, your hobbies are less expensive, but you make them so much more expensive. Like, you could buy, you know, just a $5 movie at Bull Moose once a week, but instead you just decide to buy 20 Blu-rays and, like, 2 Steelbooks and 4 Criterions all in 1 week. Like, you're making it that much money.
Dude, I'm gonna sell all of it anyways.
Yeah.
All right, send me the list before you do. I'll take my pickings.
Before you send them this list, let me come over and I'll get my pickings first.
Okay, yeah, let Chris have his 3 movies and then I'll take what's left.
You probably already own the three that I want anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Time to liquidate.
I just bought... Do you guys see my text I bought? It's complicated.
Yeah.
I saw that you said it was a hidden gem. I didn't know if that was a joke or you meant that.
I opened it up and Rachel was like, why did you buy that? It's a terrible movie. And I was like, $4.99.
That was all you said?
Yeah. It's just like one of those things like when you're buying a bunch of other shit and it's like, oh, $4.99. I'll just throw that in the cart.
It won't add that much. And then the next one you pick out, oh, I won't add that much.
Exactly, because I got like La La Land, Phantom Thread, Underworld, Pacific Rim, and like a handful of other shit. And then I was like, oh, it's complicated, $4.99. Yeah, throw that in the cart.
Those all those other movies are movies that I would buy, though.
Yeah, I got them all on 4K.
Pacific Rim looks great on 4K.
I haven't watched it yet.
So you're liquidating all of your stuff. What are you going to do with, like, your furniture?
I don't own any furniture.
Dude, what about that dresser in your closet?
That's my mom. That was here when I moved in.
$40, gone.
Yeah, you can have it.
Facebook Marketplace, gone.
You don't have any, like, what about that shelf in the back with all your movies on it?
I'll fucking break it and throw it away. I don't care. All
right. Jeez.
Or you can have it. I don't care.
I don't want it.
Then why do you ask me what I'm going to do with it?
I bought tools, so I don't know. I was just curious. Like, you just have a – I feel like you have a ton of shit, but apparently you don't have as much as I thought. Shit, you might have less stuff than I do now.
I'm a minimalist guy. What can I say?
Oh, fuck, my God. He's back to being a minimalist.
I have 8 decks of cards. I'm a minimalist.
Did you buy 8?
I'm currently staring at 5, so yes.
Why the fuck do you have so many decks?
I gotta find the one that works the best for me.
What, do the other 5 do something that one you're holding right now doesn't?
Different quality, different style, different look. Some might be stickier than others.
Dude, why are they sticky?
Those are the nude cards. They're sticky.
Those are the 70s Bush edition of bicycle cards.
I'll get a nude version for you going. I'll get them custom made.
Yeah, get Chris's crack on all the... And like that'll be all like the numbers. So like the 7 of diamonds just has 7 like ass cracks.
That'd be one of the funniest Christmas gifts anybody could give. You kidding me? A nudist deck of cards, but they're all me.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
That's what I want.
You should buy a bunch of them as stocking stuffers for your family.
King, like the king, can just be Chris full nude.
So, Chris, how many of these do you want? Like, just one or two? I want 50.
I want all of them.
I want 50 decks, please.
How much can your company produce in a day? I want all of that.
You know, we can literally produce thousands. How many people are there in Bangor? Like,
all right, you guys want to start recording? I see that you already have been recording.
Yeah. I have all 48 minutes of that.
I know, this is all prime, like, intro stuff. I don't know why we don't just start recording immediately. Like, this is all gold. Oh, shit, I gotta look up real quick what our... Oh, when we start recording, I gotta tell you guys about all the free movies I got in the last month.
My Best Buy debacle.
Yeah, I want to hear about your Best Buy debacle. I got to tell you about the, like, handful of movies I've gotten for free on accident.
It sounds like you're scamming the system.
It's more like I just took advantage of hiccups. All right. Hello and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Sunday, December 13th, 2020. This is episode number 92, and I'm Jake.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Zach.
Coming up this week, we have a review of the new Netflix film Mank, directed by David Fincher. We'll also talk about some of the things that we watched and whatever else comes up along the way. So thank you for downloading. Thanks for listening. How you guys doing this week?
I'm all right.
Not bad.
Yeah?
Tired. I learned the running title of Paul Thomas Anderson's new film, and I thought that it was hilarious.
What's the running title?
Soggy Bottom.
Is that really what the name of it is?
It's called Soggy Bottom for now, until they can probably, hopefully, come up with a better name.
Oh, so that's just a place. That's a placeholder?
As far as I know.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, it's kind of hard to get better than that, but, like, good luck, PTA.
Is Ben Safdie in that one?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Who else is in it? Is Ben Stiller? No.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
The Coop.
What?
Is the Sandman going to be in it?
No, I don't think so.
Why would Paul Thomas Anderson work with a hack like Bradley Cooper?
Because he's not a hack. He's one of the best actors that we've seen in the past 10, 15 years.
Have you fucking seen American Sniper? He's so fucking good in that movie.
Oh my fucking gosh.
Chris, how many times have you rewatched A Star Is Born? Oh, you don't even like that movie, do you?
A Star Is Born? I gave it a 4.5.
But do you like it? Like, have you rewatched it?
Yeah, I've rewatched it once.
Oh, you have?
I like it. I really do.
I always like keep mean to re. I always mean to rewatch it, and then I don't know. I just don't.
I get why you wouldn't, but
I did see that Lady Gaga's in the new Ridley Scott film, but then I was like, oh, it's Ridley Scott. Who gives a fuck?
Oh wow, it's Ridley Scott. I haven't made a good movie in 30 years.
I know, the guy's, he's washed up. What a hack. Have we already talked about who we thought was better, Ridley Scott or Tony Scott?
Yeah, we did.
What did you say?
Tony Scott.
Okay. Well, Michael Scott.
Well, he ran Supreme. Are you getting, Zach, are you getting Peacock to watch The Office, or are you just cutting ties?
No, I own it all.
You do?
Yeah.
On what?
On.
Well, yeah, for on now, what? Until I sell it, but.
They just released the full series on Blu-ray, so I think I might pull the trigger after Christmas.
Hold on, you are gonna sell everything?
Yeah.
He's not gonna sell it. He's not.
No, not my car.
I believe that he will sell his stuff. I just have a hard time believing that there's not like one or two things that just hold too much value to him to like sell.
The Scorpion King on VHS.
You're gonna sell that?
No, that's one that holds so much value to me I can't sell it. my cameras and my deck of cards. I'll have to pick one of the 8, but
what are you gonna do with the other 7? Throw them out?
I'll have to sell them.
Wait, is that why you bought 8? So you can play with them all to see which one's your favorite, and then you'll get rid of the other ones?
Yeah.
That's the most wasteful shit I've ever heard.
No, it's not, because Walmart has such a lenient return policy that even these heavily used cards I can still return.
Are you going to keep all your 4K movies and just get rid of your Blu-ray, or are you just going to get rid of everything?
It's all going to go, my friend.
Anything. Why are you doing this? This is just the... Is there a logistical reason, or are you now at the yearly mark where you've now switched back to a minimalist?
I can't bring this stuff with me when I live in a van.
I see. Why don't you just, like, put it in a box somewhere and then...
Because then I'm relying on other people to store it, and then eventually it assumes I'll have to come pick it up again.
I mean, no, you won't. They could just get rid of it for you.
Exactly. They could just get rid of it without me knowing.
Okay, ultimately, are you just looking for an excuse to get rid of shit?
No, I'm going to live in a van.
Right, so you're just looking for an excuse to sell shit.
Well, no, this is my reasoning for selling it. And then I'll use that money to just live on.
See, I think the van comes second.
I don't think you're going to get as much as you're hoping.
I think as long as I get like $1,000, that I could live on that for like 3 months.
I have a hard time believing you'd get $1,000.
For the movies?
I wouldn't.
And living on that for a couple months, there's no way you could live off that for a couple months.
Excuse me, sir? What ails you? Why couldn't I?
Just because I feel as if you are comfortable with a certain lifestyle, you know? And just because you sell all your stuff off once, we've seen you sell the stuff before, I don't think that you would be able to stop yourself from buying that Freddy Krueger, you know, fucking oven mitt that you see at Target.
Well, Chris, a Freddy Krueger oven mitt seems to have a pretty practical use, so maybe I would buy that.
In a fucking van?
That's funny, Chris. Picasso had doubters too, and look where he ended up.
Art got me there.
No, Seabiscuit, you're too old to be good at this. Oh, no, sorry, Seabiscuit. You'll never win the Triple Crown.
Oh.
You're Seabiscuit in this analogy?
Yes, I am Seabiscuit.
Okay.
And the Triple Crown is living off of a Freddy Krueger oven mitt.
He's living off of $1,000 for 3 months. And it's resisting. Not my most
bulletproof analogy, but it works.
Fair enough.
Because you got to think, if you limited yourself to $10 a day, you could live for 100 days on $1,000.
Yes. But, and I guess you wouldn't have expenses like rent and everything, but like.
I would have literally no expenses.
Just food and gas, yeah.
Feed myself.
Food, gas, you'd have to find places to shower, you'd have to.
Okay, but after the 3 months is up, then what? You just find another way to make another $1,000 and go another 3 months?
No, yeah, he's going to.
Adventures up.
In 3 months, he's going to be super good at sleight of hand. So he's going to go to Vegas, he's going to do street shows. He's going to put a hat out and collect change. Like,
I'll stand on the side of the road with a bucket, and I'll just do card tricks.
That'd be pretty amazing rags to riches story.
I made myself homeless to do card tricks.
If I'm being completely honest, most of my criticism is out of jealousy. Like, I would love to have a van and just fucking go.
Chris, there's literally nothing stopping you.
That's not true at all. It's
literally nothing.
Well, it's the ties that I have here.
What ties do you have?
Dude, I have a girlfriend of like 6 years, over 6 years that I'm living with. Okay.
That's not a real tie.
She takes pictures of his ass. You can't let that go.
As much as I would love to go, we can't fit two people's lifestyle into a van. We'd have to get like a short bus or something.
Chris,
Zach already tried that.
If you were to just sell everything, right? Well, you only have three things to begin with. So if you just got rid of those things,
that's what I'm
saying.
You can't sell the
Parasite Blu-ray, Chris.
I can't.
That was a gift.
That's one of the three things. We traded on that. Don't make it seem like you did me any favors. If anything, I did you like four to fucking favors there.
I more than was willing to pay for those movies, and you said, don't worry about it.
Well, that's true, man. I did decline. I just feel like I don't really have much of value. So I definitely couldn't make – if I sold all my stuff, I couldn't make $1,000.
Well, I'm easily willing to contribute like $300, maybe $250 towards a good bulk of those movies.
All right, bud, going for top dollar.
$5 a piece, so I can get 50 movies.
Pretty steep.
Let's be real, you've got plenty of $5 films in that collection, Zach.
He has every Transformers movie, of course he has.
Those are going to be $750, bud.
Those are the ones that you're stashing in a box and leaving at your mom's house while you go in a van.
Dude, I want to hide those in the floorboards. I'll come back for them years later.
You mind if I come in your apartment real quick? I've got some shit in here.
It's like Anne Frank's diary in the floorboards.
Fucking gosh.
Just like it.
Is that how they found Anne Frank's diary?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Fuck, so she got famous by chance.
Yeah, sure. They could have found just any German girl's diary.
It just happened to be Anne Frank.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like
we could have been reading the diary of Helga. But instead we read The Diary of Anne Frank.
The Diary of Olga Mueller, and said it's fucking Anne Frank.
So she's like the 1945 version of, like, Kim K.
Yeah, almost exactly like that.
How so?
She's like, well, because, like, Kim K just happened to be the one having sex with Ray J. Anne Frank just happened to be the one whose diary got found.
One of those is way more by chance than the other.
Well, you think people were, like, seeking out Anne Frank's diary?
I think, like...
No, that's the random... That's the more random one. People were definitely seeking out Kim K to fuck.
I'm not saying that people weren't. I'm just saying, like...
I get what you're saying. Anne Frank is the ultimate rags-to-riches story, but...
Kim K kind of is, too, just in
Her whole family was famous to begin with.
I mean, not her whole family. Like, Kim K wasn't famous before that.
One could arguably suggest that she would have been eventually.
Yeah, but we'll never know, I guess.
We'll never know if someone else's diary is hidden in the floorboard somewhere.
All right, fine. I guess it's not anything alike, but whatever.
I mean, it's just about as on par as the Seabiscuit analogy, so we'll roll with it.
Oh my gosh. Just gotta wait for Jake to make a shitty analogy and then we'll have the trifecta.
I don't make shitty analogies.
Thinking pretty highly of yourself, Jake. I'm gonna make mental note of that.
Yeah, please do. Never forget. My analogies are always on point. I think there's a soundbite in the show somewhere in the 92 episodes that you have said my analogies are on point.
Maybe the one-star fan can go digging through them and find it.
Yeah, that guy's long gone. That guy or gal is long gone.
Good. Get lost.
I'm convinced that they just accidentally clicked one star.
Go fly a kite, bud.
Yeah, I really am more disappointed that they didn't leave a comment.
Have to let that one marinate.
I got us a new listener, by the way.
Ooh.
His name's Jeff. He works for the courtyard or the town place by Marriott.
My name is Jeff.
Is that your Jeff goal? Like wherever you work, you're just gonna
super cool
one person listen to it.
Dude, at least I'm putting plugs somewhere. Like I said, this is what I'm planning to live off of the rest of my life. Like this has to hit big. This is my only option.
Chris has a lot riding on this.
To live in a van, but it's not ridiculous for Chris to try to live on a podcast that literally no one promotes.
This is
a lot riding on this.
Yeah, this is what I'm planning on doing for the rest of my life. So you guys better buckle in. Like you better find a way to record in some fucking Starbucks in the middle of Kansas somewhere.
Should I like start having ads? Should we reach out to ads and companies?
Yeah, but like only the cool kind. So let's get like billboards and shit.
Who do you think we could realistically get as an ad?
AdamandEve.com.
I'm in.
I feel like they're like handing them out like candy, so that would make sense. Light.
How about the Cash App? Can we get the Cash App on there?
Dude, I've been drinking white.
Like Jack Dorsey. I don't know if I'm willing to support that.
I've been drinking White Claws lately. Can we get sponsored by White Claw?
Chris, do you want me to edit that out?
No.
Are you sure you don't want me to edit that out?
The only thing that I would consider having you edit out is the Anne Frank bit. That's it.
Well, joke's on you, I'm not editing anything out.
Dude, I fucking know you're not, because you don't edit out shit unless it's something you say.
How do they determine, like, how does a company determine if, like, your thing or whatever is worthy of, like, putting an ad in? Is it based on, like, listeners or whatever?
We have to show them statistics.
Oh, so you have to go to the advertising agencies?
Well, I mean, they're not just going to come to us.
I figured that's what they would do. Like, I'd imagine, like, once you get to Joe Rogan's stratosphere, he'd, like...
Okay, well, if you're Joe Rogan, people might come to you. Yeah. But for most people, you have to go to them.
If you're Please, the give us money.
On Earth, people might come to you.
Yeah. Get us, like, I feel like there's got to be some sort of, like...
Why are you saying get this as if I'm the one that's going to put in the work to do this?
Because, Zach, you're the guy.
Live on this.
No,
that's true.
Like,
you're the one that wants to live on this.
Yeah, but I'm
aware if this ever makes a dime or sees more than 10 listeners.
I'm planning on riding your guys' backs through all four of this. Like,
thanks for being honest.
I'm 100% honest. You two are going to be successful. I'm gonna be there.
Chris, do you want to rethink that? I literally just told you that I plan to be homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like
card tricks on buckets in Las Vegas.
Vince, that's probably how like David Blaine started out. Like Vincent Van Gogh was homeless at one point. Look at him now.
Dead.
That's true. Seabiscuit was gonna be put to death.
Sorry, couldn't live forever. Yeah, but like I'm just gonna like
coattails. I only got like 25 years left. What are you gonna do after that?
Well, then there's still another person left in this podcast. Like, I'll just go knock on Jake's door.
You're gonna live with me one day, aren't you? Probably. I can already tell.
Me, your mom, Mike. It's gonna be the big trio. We're gonna come knocking.
Fuck, I can already tell.
Chris is like Ricky Bobby's, Bobby Boucher's dad.
Yeah, Jake, it's me. Your dad, the Vito. I'll do it. This is my game plan.
I saw you on ESPN.
Oh, man.
Speaking of the Wild Boy, that was one of the movies that I tried to get in that big bulk collection. They were back ordered until after Christmas.
Of course they are. Everyone's buying
it. That's a hot holiday item.
Go to Best Buy. It's like, why is the Waterboy sold out? And they're like, every year. Every Christmas.
I did manage to sneak in Billy Madison, though, so.
How many did you get for free?
Oh, yeah. So I got – so on Black Friday, I got The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, and Rogue One for free. Due to a clerical error through Best Buy. So what happened was I put in an order before work, and I went and picked it up after work. I think they must have been busy, and this guy came out and gave me my shit. And I don't know if you've done curbside pickup, Chris, at Best Buy.
No.
So typically they like send you an email and it's like, oh, your order is picked up. I never got that email. So I just like my week just went on, and then like the following week it was like, you only have like 2 days left to come pick up your Star Wars movies. And I was like, whoa, what? Like, I already got these. So like the guy who brought it out forgot to log it in the system that I had gotten the movies already. So when the time lapsed, I was automatically refunded those movies.
Oh, shit, yeah.
That's badass.
Sounds like Best Buy up all over the place.
Yeah, and then the other day, I pre-ordered Possessor. So Tuesday I came home, saw an email that said, hey, your package was delivered, but I checked our mailbox, I checked the front door, and I checked like our hub where packages get delivered to, and there was nothing. So I went on to Amazon's assist chat and was like, hey, my package said it was delivered, but like there's nothing here. And they were like, oh, okay, what do you want? Like, do you want a refund or do you want a replacement? And I was like, oh, send me a replacement. And then they were like, okay, yeah, well, it'll be here, like, next week sometime. So then, like, I went about my night, and then, like, 5 hours later, like, a package dropped on my door, and it was Possessor. But the order had already gone through. So then I got another copy of Possessor for free.
You gonna go back? You gonna sell that?
It's going right to that guy over there.
Nice.
For him to then turn around and sell when he gets his van.
Leave it in the packaging.
No, so speaking of Best Buy, so I bought a new camera this week. I switched from Canon to Sony.
Oh my gosh, I remember you shitting on me so hard when I thought about getting a Sony camera.
Yeah, Chris, well, you don't do the research. You're just, oh, this looks cool, I'll do this.
No, I did a decent amount of research for that one, but I ended up going with the Canon.
It's not about you, okay?
Oh, my gosh. Fair, continue.
I didn't want to drive all the way there if they didn't have it in stock. The website said they had it in stock, but I've learned this problem before where it said they had the Friday the 13th box set in stock. I go to get it. They don't have it in stock. And they said, well, I don't know why the website says that. And so I called them. And I said, hey, your website says you have two of these. I know you guys are probably busy. Is it possible for you just to confirm that you have one there before I drive there to get it? And the woman said, oh, sorry, due to this time of year, we're not allowed to give you an inventory count of how many things we have and whatnot. And I said, no, I totally get that. I'm not asking you for an inventory count. I'm asking you if it's actually there. Sir, like, I really can't discuss that with you. Like, that's inventory. We can't discuss that. And I said, no, I don't want to get you on a technicality here. But if I asked you how many you had, that's an inventory question. I'm asking you if it's there. That's an availability question. They're not the same.
Not to derail your story, but why didn't you, if they had it, said it had it in stock, why don't you just put it in the curbside pickup order?
Because I was going to pay cash.
Oh. Continue.
Well, no. I still can't give you that information. It's inventory. So, I hate to beat a dead horse here, but it's not inventory. It's availability.
Dude, you're such an asshole. You're clearly not going to... No, I'm not saying you're wrong, and she probably knows you're not wrong, but, like, if you're sitting there and she's clearly not going to give you the answer, like, what are you hoping to get out of this?
Dude, this is the problem I have with... I think that most people that work at Best Buy are either stupid or lazy. And so, like... I can't tell you the amount of times that I've gone in, they've said, can I help you? I tell them what I need help with, and then I have to find it for them. Like, it's getting ridiculous.
Well, there is something weird about, like, such extreme loyalty. It's like, yo, you work at Best Buy for, like, minimum wage. Like, what the fuck do you care?
And, like, if look at my purchase history. Like, I do buy things here. It's not like I'm, like, trying to, like... hassle you to give me a lower price that someone else is offering. Like, I'm going to buy it. I literally just want to know if you have it before I drive there. That's
Did you tell her that? Did you just make up a story like you have to drive like an hour away and you don't want to get there and it's gone?
I literally just want to know if you have it. You don't have to tell me how many are there. That would be an inventory question. But if it's sitting there, that's all I want to know. No, sorry, I can't discuss that with you. What the
fuck? What'd you do?
I went there and I bought it.
So they did have it.
Out of spite, I was going to buy it somewhere else, but nowhere else had it, so.
Lucked out, Best Buy.
I should just go return it. Fuck you.
Buy it. What'd you get?
I can't complain. Best Buy has done me good.
What kind of Sony did you get?
The A6000.
Oh, shit. That one's nice, isn't it?
It's pretty nice.
What made you want to switch?
Size.
That would make sense.
Did you get any deal on it?
I don't think $1,000 is a good deal, but sure.
But that wasn't like 50% off, half off. You had nothing. You just flat out bought it
for cameras.
I was gonna get.
I don't think the 6000 was out yet when I was thinking about getting a Sony, but like I was going to get the same camera, except the version below that. But then I saw that Canon was having a sale online for refurbished 80Ds and it was $500, so I bought it.
You have an 80D?
Yes.
That's pretty good. That's the same camera as the one and the only Andrew Clark, so it must be good.
Shit, I didn't even know he had one.
Yeah.
Do you use it?
No.
Use it to make
again. This is the problem I was talking.
Yeah, about. But yeah, it's only $500. That's not that bad.
Well, that was kind of my justification. Like, it was between going to Best Buy and buying one for like $1,000, $1,200, or I could get one with two lenses. Might I add? Online on the Canon website, refurbished for $500 on sale. So I bought it. I pulled the trigger. I mean, I felt like I would have been stupid if I didn't. And like, I am planning on using it. Like this, like what I was saying earlier, this winter break, I'm gonna try and like write
fucking film a movie in 5 weeks.
Okay, so let's say you don't do that.
Yeah.
Would you sell it to me for $400?
I'd think about it.
Everything in Chris's house has a price.
I mean, he's right. Like, the only thing that realistically doesn't have a price is probably my TV. That's the one thing I probably would not sell.
I'll give you $100 for your couch.
Dude, I can't sell this thing. This is Alyssa's. Anything is mine.
100% profit.
Just don't tell her, man. Just say they were robbers.
Alyssa, I don't know if you can hear this. They're trying to buy our couch for $100.
Alyssa, we were robbed.
Just get home and just be like, shit, everything is here except the couch. I'm like, that's crazy. It's an IKEA couch, so you can easily like take it apart and bring it outside. Shit, this is starting to look a lot more appetizing.
You can take it apart, but easily?
Yeah, oh yeah. All you need to have...
It's easy?
Oh, it's so easy. We put it together in like 2 minutes.
Damn. That's quicker than it took to put my bookshelf together.
Dude, like, this thing is super easy. Plus, it comes with an ottoman that has storage inside. Sure, it has, like, a little couple pasta stains on it, but, like, whatever.
Who's going to wonder who are those from?
Just suck on it for the flavor later, like. Oh, man.
Chris, do you eat ravioli cold from the can?
No, I don't. No one wants to admit they have eaten 12 cans of ravioli. No, I don't eat ravioli. I can't eat ravioli or SpaghettiOs anymore.
Why not?
Doctor's orders?
Bad experience.
Did you barf?
Yeah, like a lot.
Ooh.
I had a can of SpaghettiOs and then I just like started blowing up chunks. Huh?
So did your SpaghettiOs come back up whole?
Some of them did.
Ugh.
But like what happened was I ate them, I threw up, and then I'm not gonna lie, it was probably like 9 a.m. So
that's early for SpaghettiOs.
It was at 9 a.m.
Yeah, it was an early day. So I ate
that's
them.
That's very early day.
And then I brushed my teeth and I was like, well fuck, I don't have anything in me. I'm kinda hungry again. So then I ate ravioli.
What?
And then and then I threw that up.
Oh my god. So wait, you puked from eating the SpaghettiOs and then you thought that you should test the waters and have ravioli?
I had nothing inside my stomach. I knew I was gonna get hungry at some point. I just tried to
have like some toast.
I tried to beat it to the punch. I don't know.
Was this a perpetual cycle of you eating something, vomiting it, and then being like, well, I've got nothing in my system, so
it was just the two times. After that second time, I was like, all right, I'm done. And then
I should probably have some of this canned spaghetti.
Whatever.
Oh, I should probably eat this can of Vienna sausages.
Dude, Vienna sausages are great.
Why did you puke them up? Were you just like, were you not feeling well already? Or do you think it explicitly was the food?
Well, I mean, like, I think what happened was is I ate the SpaghettiOs and like I got sick like from the SpaghettiOs. That's what I assume. But then I don't think I was over being sick from the SpaghettiOs when I ate the ravioli and then I threw that up. Because this was all within the same like
basically the same.
Yeah, but I wasn't thinking that at the time. It was all within the same like half hour period.
Sure, sure, sure. I think the only food that I've eaten puked was when I ate an entire bag of Takis.
I've puked a lot before.
Off of eating food?
Not necessarily like eating it, but like having raw meat on my hands and then like touching my mouth and.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's happened quite a few times.
How do you not wash your hands immediately?
Touch a lot of raw meat.
Zach, we're not talking about your dick here. We're talking about, like, steak, chicken, pork.
Oh.
Is this just recently since you've been a cook, line cook, that you've been touching raw meat?
I would say I've been fondling raw meat for about 2 years now.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a good way to put it.
Fondling raw meat. Do you sit there beforehand, like before you cook it, and you're just like,
man, this stuff feels great.
Well, you have to bread it, so like.
You swish it in the back, in between your hands, just like, ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I gotta say, though, like, sometimes when I'm preparing, if I'm making, like, meatballs or something, which, gotta say, haven't made meatballs in a long time, but, like, when I'm touching, like, ground hamburger, I might, like, give it a couple extra squeezes for the texture, you know?
Oh, you're saying meatballs just got me thinking. Chris, are you going to our parents' house for Christmas? My mom's making lasagna.
Oh, fuck, I didn't know that. Shit, I might even have to make a pit stop. Zach, you're not going to be there, right?
Probably not.
I'm there.
It is Christmas. I probably wouldn't spend it at home.
What are you guys doing for Christmas anyways?
You guys being, like, you're addressing it to both of us?
Yeah, who are you asking?
I'm talking to two guys.
Okay. Well, I don't have to work that day, obviously, so Rich and I are going to do Christmas together.
Well, what does that entail? Because, like, Christmas, when I think of Christmas, I only think of the stereotypical stuff, like opening presents, doing caroling, yeah. Shit like that.
Well, we're not going caroling, but we are opening
presents. We're opening presents. Christmas to the neighborhood.
Dude, why not?
No, we are opening presents.
You want to go caroling and just sing, like, Metallica songs instead?
For Whom the Bell Tolls?
Yeah.
We should Christmas carol with Cake and Sodomy by Marilyn Manson.
Or we'll do Oklahoma. Or not Oklahoma, fucking Steel Panther.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do Steel Panther.
I think we should carol with Informer. Do you remember that song?
No, what's that one?
Oh, dude, I'll fucking... This is the song. This is the perfect caroling song.
Hold on, ready? Why do I feel like it's going to be the exact opposite of what he's saying?
Oh, this one?
This is the perfect song to carol to.
I'm going to say, Informer. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, this is this one.
We'll play this on a boombox. Walk
yeah, have a boombox. Have like a have a big cardboard cutout that you guys can do breakdance on.
Listen, Zach, you can do every single part of that song except I want to be the one that goes I lick the boom boom down. That's the only part that I want.
That is gonna be a great carol.
I'll get like rip off pants for that.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the first a licky boom boom down comes, I'll just rip them off and just be like, a licky boom boom down.
If I ever get roped into doing karaoke, that's going to be the song.
Is that?
If you ever get roped, do you get put in positions a lot where you might get roped into it?
It's possible. You never really know what's going to happen.
I'll do that one Uncle Cracker song. Swimming through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm saying, follow me and everything is all right. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. I'll fucking go for it.
Nice. All right, well, let's talk some mank here. The reason that we're gathered here tonight. So Mank is directed by David Fincher, and it stars Gary Oldman and Amanda Seyfried and Lily Collins. And the plot synopsis is 1930s Hollywood is reevaluated through the eyes of scathing wit and alcoholic screenwriter Herman J. Mankiewicz as he races to finish Citizen Kane. So what did you guys think of Mank? First off, were you guys excited for this movie? Had you been looking forward to it?
No.
Yes.
Okay. So what are your thoughts?
Uneventful. I was expecting it to be a lot cooler than how it actually turned out, but I do have to say I really like the old like 1930s, 1940s movie aesthetic that he tried to recapture. I thought he did a pretty decent job of that. Gary Oldman was okay. Amanda Seyfried was tolerable. Friggin'
I agree. Like, I like the look of it, but other than that, I'm kind of out. Like, this movie is definitely way better than The Darkest Hour, but it's kind of the same thing for me. We're like, watching Gary Oldman's performance is interesting, but the movie as a whole does nothing for me.
Yeah, I think my biggest downfall was that I haven't seen Citizen Kane. So I feel like most of this movie, like anytime it's a flashback, I feel like you're supposed to take away something from that scene where it's like, oh, like that helped him influence something that he put in Citizen Kane. And since I've never seen that, a lot of it just felt very like jumbled and disorganized and disorienting for me.
I mean, a lot of it kind of seems like it's reliant upon you having prior knowledge of the situation behind Citizen Kane. Like, yeah, a lot of it was like explained, but it just kind of seemed like the picture was not fully complete. And I mean, I've known about the situation. I've read about the situation with him trying to shit on the fucking newspaper guy there. I knew that that's what Citizen Kane was about going into this, so it just would have been nice if that was a little more explained.
It seems weird to me. Like, so David Fincher makes The Social Network, which is a biopic, but it's so like unconventional and like it works really well. It doesn't feel like you're watching a biopic. It feels like an original story told in an interesting way. Whereas this feels like the most cookie cutter kind of biopic formula that you could come up with.
Yeah, it definitely seems to have like Oscar bait written all over it for sure.
I mean, given the year that we've had, I don't see how Gary Oldman's not the front runner so far. He has literally no competition.
Yet. There's still 17 days, buddy.
What's 2 weeks away. The only other name that I know that they're pushing for Best Actor is Steven Yeun in that new, like, Minari, I think the name of it is, that's coming out on Christmas. Other than that, like, you're right. Like, I don't really know who would be nominated. I'll be very interested to see what the awards look like this year.
This might be a year Christopher Nolan gets one. For Tenet.
Who knows? I guess we'll see next week.
Like, the Academy can nominate 10, but they only nominate 2.
Hey, fine. He says it's interesting.
Oh, shit. I mean, I gotta say, I really liked the way it was written. I fucking love the script. I do. I just love that kind of, like, cheesy lines where, like, him and his wife are, he's drunk and she's trying to get him into bed. And he's just like, those are some good days, weren't they? And she's like, yeah, those are some pretty good nights, too. Like, I fucking love that shit. It's so good, especially along paired with the aesthetic. Like, it just kind of hits for me.
Yeah, from everything that I've read about, like, Herman Mankiewicz, it seems like that was kind of his personality, to be incredibly, like, sarcastic about everything. I think Gary Oldman played it well. I think the problem for me was I really just was not a fan of, like, essentially the story taking place in, like, just him trying to write the screenplay and then randomly flashing back to different moments, like I said, that I feel are supposed to be moments that you see and then are like, oh, okay, that influenced Citizen Kane in some way. Or that interaction influenced something or his thoughts about something.
If, like, what was happening while he was trying to write the screenplay seemed tied to the flashbacks, I feel like that would have been a lot more interesting because it would have shown you his process while at the same time giving you the backstory but behind him getting to the point where he is. Well,
I definitely would not be interested in watching a movie where he's writing and then he's like, okay, I need some way to portray this character. And then it flashes back to some interaction.
And then it jumps back where
he's like, oh, I know how to write this.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that, like, he had that the woman there to help him write all of this stuff while he was incapacitated. They could have had a conversation that would have, like that's where you can kind of take a fictitious hand in there and use her as a device to get you, the viewer, towards those events.
Well, I mean, I would say, like, the quote unquote present tense stuff that takes place at this remote place that he can write is by far the most interesting, and it's where they spend like the least amount of time. Like, I literally do not care what those events that happen leading up to that, but there's something like inherently interesting about, you know, this guy who is basically washed up, and like that is when he produces his best work, but because he's burned all of his bridges, no one will touch it. Like, that's way more interesting than like all these fucking stupid little winks and nods at old Hollywood that I can't stand.
Yeah, I wish it kind of like would pick a direction. Either it be completely about the writing of Citizen Kane and then just that struggle out of it and not necessarily the influences, or just be like, we're going to spend time in old Hollywood following this character, and these events just happen to lead to the culmination of Citizen Kane.
And they tease like the whole feud he had with Orson Welles, and then like, it's nothing.
I mean, yeah, it's certainly not in this. It's really not that much.
Yeah, especially when they end on that note, and they spend literally like a part of the movie with legacy. That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They spend a minute and a half with it, like at the very end, because Orson Welles is somebody who, you know, I was expecting personally to be a more involved character in this movie, but he had probably 15 minutes of screen time in a 2 hour, 15 minute movie.
But the guy is good.
Huh?
So, but the guy who plays him is good.
Yeah, he sounds just like him.
Did you guys find any of the like sequences or like chains of dialogue hard to follow? Like both audibly and just sort of what you're supposed to pull from the scene?
I feel that way about the whole movie. I'm really not even sure what I'm supposed to take away from this.
I feel like there's definitely some sort of political thing in it, because they seem to talk a lot about socialism and communism a lot.
Which to me felt like almost like the driving factor for like A, why the movie was made, and B, like, that's kind of what they wanted to focus on, because like, it's a large chunk of the movie, but it doesn't really seem that like instrumental in A, the making of Citizen Kane, or B, Mankiewicz's life.
Yeah, because I was like, because when they started getting into that part, like, I thought that that was going to sort of be where it was going, and I was kind of like, oh, okay, problems we're facing today. I see where this is going now. But then, yeah, you're right. It's not really touched upon or seems to be influential in any way. Chris, did you have a hard time following anything?
I mean, like, little blurbs, I guess, when he would get riffing with somebody. Because when he was having a conversation, like that scene where they're all kind of in the same room, there's like a bunch of people in there. They're celebrating something, and it kind of
– The birthday party or the dinner?
There's like five people in a room of 50 that are trying to have one conversation.
About when they're talking about – yeah, when they're talking about Upton Sinclair?
Yeah, when they're talking about Upton Sinclair and there's five people in a room who are trying to have a conversation in a room of 50. And it's the only five characters that matter. I feel like there's a way you can kind of work around it to make that scene seem less awkward. But at the same time, I remember sitting there and being like, okay, he says this, he says this, he says this. And then getting down the line a little bit and being like, okay, I'm a little lost. But
see, that one I didn't
overall,
see that
overall, I seem to maintain it.
The big scene that seems to be like the climax is like his drunken talk at that dinner party, and he's like talking about Don Quixote. That was one thing where I was like, by the end of it, I was like, wait, hold a second. I was like, he's been talking about Don Quixote, but I don't really get any of like what it's supposed to relate to the people. Because then there's a part where Amanda Seyfried gets embarrassed or upset or something about what he says, and then like leaves off crying. And then I was like, wait, why is she crying? I don't understand what happened here.
I mean, I don't really know the story of Don Quixote, if I'm being completely honest. I know it has something to do with like a soldier who trudges on alone or something like that, but
right. But I don't think understand that knowing the story of Don Quixote was important in that scene. It was more just like why is he spewing off about it?
Talk down.
Huh?
It's what?
So Chris says, all you need to know, it's like a 15th century Mexican version of Black Hawk Down.
Oh, okay. I'm down with it then. Are you kidding me? That's badass.
It's not.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. I mean, I liked the kind of back and forth in that scene where they'd be at the party, and then they'd go back to modern time, and then they'd go back to the party, and then back to modern time, back to the party, and they kind of fluctuate on that. And I haven't seen Citizen Kane, but it makes me think that, like, a lot of it, especially in the moments where they were talking about the screenplay and what's up with it, made me feel as if a lot of the techniques that were used in this movie are more likely than not used in Citizen Kane.
Yeah, probably.
That's interesting that we're the three of us are reviewing this movie, but none of us have seen Citizen Kane.
Well, seeing Citizen Kane shouldn't have to be a prerequisite for seeing Mank.
I would agree. Here's a question. So this movie was written by David Fincher's father.
Okay.
And if you look at this movie,
nepotism.
It is nothing like David Fincher's body of work. So do you think this is like, you know, his dad really wanted this movie made and now he has some pull so he made it? Or do you really feel like this is something David Fincher wanted to make?
Well, I don't know the mind of David Fincher, so it's hard to tell.
Speculate, not give me an exact
answer. Well, do we have any interview examples or anything where he talks about his love for old Hollywood? I can see Tarantino doing this movie.
I could too.
Does David Fincher have an affinity for old cinema? Is he known for that?
Not
for old Hollywood?
It just seems weird that you've built this career, this aesthetic, and then you just abandon it all to make this rather standard biopic. And I'm just trying to figure out why.
Maybe he did it for his father. What I can really
think of is like,
the moolah, baby.
Really wanted made, so he did it.
Maybe he wanted the moolah.
He would make so much. He makes so much more money doing Mindhunter. I'm willing to bet. They literally delayed production of Mindhunter so that he could make this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, David Fincher. I love you, but Mindhunter is a lot fucking better than this, bud.
Huh. I mean, apparently David Fincher is huge into old cinema and like this guy specifically.
I guess I just want some answers, Fincher. Finchy.
Why he's doing something so different? I mean, I'm down with him doing something so different. Just I didn't really see much of him in this.
It also seems like maybe his father was super into stuff, so he kind of wanted to do this for his father.
That's kind of what I'm wondering.
I could buy that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that's good or bad. Like, I think it's like a serviceable movie. Like, it's not terrible by any stretch of the imagination. But I guess, like, it seems like when you think of a David Fincher film, you think of things that are, like, tight thrillers, right? That are, like, really well-crafted. And this is obviously not that at all. And I'm not really sure if that's even good or bad, but it's certainly subverts expectations.
True that.
But I definitely agree with you, Chris, that I liked the aesthetic a lot. I liked how they used like older techniques to film things so that you get like that sort of echoey distant sound to the dialogue, the period appropriate music and the sound of that. Like, I liked all of that stuff.
For me, it was the lighting. Like, I was watching, like, the lighting kind of fade to black or, like, fade down instead of cutting out a lot. That seemed really interesting to me, especially in black and white.
Yeah, there was that repeating shot where it would, like, anytime it jumped back to the him writing, you, like, cut to that close-up of his notepad, right? And then it would go into the scene.
Yeah. That kind of transition phase.
I mean, I don't know why you couldn't have Netflix front you a couple extra $1 million so you could actually shoot it on 35 instead of digitally.
What? This was shot digitally?
Yeah, this is not shot on film.
Was Roma shot on film?
No.
Is that a Netflix thing then? They must not want you to do film.
I don't know, but if you're trying to recreate the aesthetic of the 1940s and you're going to shoot it digitally, strike one.
That's got to be a Netflix thing.
I don't know. David Fincher is pretty well known for not wanting to use film.
Oh, that's really? Weird.
He literally had cameras made for him so that he could make Social Network. And the first movie shot on video, so.
Well, fucking worth it, though.
Yeah, he's pretty notorious for being a digital advocate.
Well, he certainly didn't stray there from that on this one, then.
You fucked up, bud.
But I do appreciate all the other little touches. I mean, that was fine. That was cool. But most of it, the story-wise, though, it was hard for me to get invested.
The only thing I could say was, like...
Story. I don't think they allow a story to breathe long enough. They're constantly, like... You don't spend enough time in any one place for anything to really... Like, I don't know who wrote this, but I did read a review. And it was like, it seems like the scenes never know when to start and when to stop. And that's kind of, like, exactly what this movie is. Like, it feels like scenes either go on for way too long or they're not long enough.
I definitely agree that this movie definitely feels scattered. That was one thing I was watching it where I was like, this feels very disoriented and you never really know. Or like most times in movies, you can kind of logically figure out what's going to happen next. As the story progresses, this had no idea because it was so jumbled up. The only thing I knew was that at some point in the beginning, he was going to start Citizen Kane. At the end of the movie, he was going to be finished with Citizen Kane. That was all I could tell you.
I didn't like the scenes with the other people trying to convince him not to publish the movie. Just kind of seemed out of place and like there was no purpose for it.
True that, brother.
Yeah, maybe more just, like, trying to be historically accurate type of thing. Like, all this happened, so. Yeah, overall, kind of a bummer since it's been such a drab year for film. I really thought this was going to be something that could come in and kind of ignite the spark a little bit.
2021 is going to be fucking great. That's all I can say.
It's going to be great if you love watching things not in the theater.
And 2022 is going to be even better. You know why?
Batman?
Avatar 2.
Batman?
Yeah. Avatar 2, 2022, baby.
Chris, you're not allowed to be excited about Avatar 2.
I am allowed to be excited for Avatar 2. I'm just saying I'm not
shit on it. So
I did not shit on the movie. All I said is I'm not going to suck James Cameron's dick for the fucking 4D.
Oh, did you see that? Like a bunch of people like broke Tom Cruise's underwater record, like for holding their breath on the set of Avatar 2.
He probably made them.
Yeah, probably. It's going to be fucking dope. Chris, this is what you've been wanting all along, the underwater worlds of Avatar?
Dude, I know. It's going to be so tight.
Of Pandora? It's going to be fucking sick.
Plus, in 2022, Mission Impossible 7 comes out. Hopefully.
That's going to be dope, too.
2022 is going to be fucking great, dude. There's, like, so many good ones.
2021, Kong versus Godzilla. We can finally settle our bet.
Dude, I am pumped to see what happens with Warner Brothers and their fucking HBO Max shit.
King Kong in the third round by Rear Naked Choke.
what was it? Spin by the tail? Is that what that was the bet, right?
$20, yeah.
Yeah.
That King Kong spins Godzilla by the tail.
Yeah.
Now, I think...
That's like 2 days of me living right there. I don't know if I could swing that.
I am curious to see how this plays out, only because these are like movies that I wouldn't really want to pay to go see in the theater, but if they're just at home on HBO Max, why not watch them?
Dune one of those movies?
Yeah, Dune is one. Dune would be one I'd like to see at the movie theaters. But if it pushes like Christmas next year, I might just go see it in the theater.
I would go see it in the theaters. Are you kidding me? I don't know. I don't know anything about Dune. I know David Lynch did one, and everybody said it sucked. But I know that like Dune is like this massive sci-fi thing, and it sounds badass.
It is pretty huge. Yeah, there's other things like Wonder Woman.
I haven't even seen the first one.
Yeah, Kong versus Godzilla. There's a couple other things. And then Matrix, the new Matrix, I might go see in the movies.
I'm done with Keanu Reeves. Unless it's John Wick, I'm probably not going to see it. Or I'll watch the new Bill and Ted. Huh?
That's such a Chris statement.
What?
I'm done with Keanu Reeves except for John Wick.
Dude, I mean, like, what's so good about Keanu Reeves?
Dude, he's just a good guy.
Okay, so?
People like seeing good guys do well, Chris.
I'm not relax. Saying I don't want him to do well.
I'm just saying I'm not going to be a Keanu Reeves dick rider.
Dude, I don't know why. Who replaced all your water in that house with fucking Haterade?
Oh, my fucking gosh. Whatever.
The man is finally making something for himself. Relax. He's finally stopped being known as the guy that ruined Dracula. Now he's John Wick. Like,
I don't think that's what he was known for before. I bet he was known as the guy who was in Bill and Ted and the guy who was in The Matrix.
Oh, who's that shitty actor from The Matrix? Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he ruined Dracula.
Dude, He is bad. I don't know how he's gotten to the stage that he's at.
Hey, man, he's got a good agent.
I can tell you how it's probably because he doesn't listen to dick riders like fucking you, Chris.
Just a nice guy. I'm sure directors are like, God, you're so nice, man. I want to have you on set just to talk to you.
I hope he's successful for the rest of his life if he wants to be.
Keanu, I'm not even calling you late at night to talk about the movie. I just want to make sure you're doing all right before you go to bed. Nice guy.
Did you guys hear? There was this video that came out this week about Chad Ochocinco when he was on the Bengals. And he used to call his coaches at 2 a.m. and just be like, Coach, I'm open. And then he would hang up the phone. Yeah, Chad Ochocinco would call his coaches and be like, Coach, I'm open. Hang up the phone. And then, like, he would call them at 2 a.m. in the morning, and it was Hugh Jackson.
Specified a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, whatever. He'd call them at 2 a.m. and be like, so what's the game plan for this Sunday, Coach? And then Hugh Jackson would be like, we literally have a meeting up for that in about, like, 4 hours, 5 hours. Just go to sleep.
You're a mad one.
That's wild.
That's fucking funny.
All right, you guys have any final thoughts on Mank?
No.
Chris?
I love the dialogue. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, what are you going to give it out of 5 stars?
This guy's a real dialogue head.
I'm going to give it a hard 4.
I'm going to go 3.
Hard 4, bud.
What'd you say?
I said you're always giving a hard 4.
You need to get that checked out.
I'm going 3.5.
3 for me. Move on then. Did you guys watch anything else this week? I saw Chris is finally back on Letterboxd.
I logged a couple things so I wouldn't forget.
I saw that.
There are still a couple things that I did forget to log. I want to make that clear.
Classic.
I watched The Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons.
Oh shit! Tom Hanks-a-thon.
Mm-hmm. I saw they came on Netflix, so I'm like, shit, let's do it back to back. Da Vinci Code, I love it. Angels and Demons, kind of sucks. I'm sorry to say, it's just like they have this whole thing in Angels and Demons about like how they need to find like antimatter or like whatever they call it, so that they can like power so they can avoid an explosion of Vatican City. And I'm like, that seems a little over the top for, you know, Tom Hanks, who's a symbologist from Harvard, you know.
Okay. That's for me, over the top.
Here's over the top to me is the fact that it's set in the Vatican and we don't see any pedophilia once. Like, get real.
You think it's just all over the place? Yeah, it's just like in the streets.
So like four movies in a row, they have a National Treasure-esque adventure. But the part that seems far-fetched to you is that they're going to blow up the Vatican?
No, I'm not saying they're going to blow up the Vatican. I'm saying that like they would get Tom Cruise, the symbologist.
Tom Hanks, the symbologist,
to help them figure this out and solve this crime. Like, I get that in the Da Vinci Code, he just kind of falls into it, you know? Like, somebody calls upon him to help him out that knows him, whatever. Like, that I can believe. But, like, the Vatican calls Tom Hanks and says, Tom Hanks, we need you. Like, that I have a hard time believing, you know?
Dude, it's weird.
They don't call it Interpol or any sort of federal agency. It's like, you remember that? You guys remember that Harvard symbologist?
Who was that guy? You know, the guy that like found Jesus Christ's like heir.
Well, angels think this happens before.
Yeah. Oh shit, that's right. The book was written before. But in the movies, it plays the other way. I'm pretty sure.
Well, they just happen to come out that way, but I still think Angels and Demons takes place before.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's just kind of – that was a stretch for me. I was going to try and stretch this into like a as Zach put it, a National Treasure-esque themed week. So I was going to do like Angels and Demons, Da Vinci Code. I was going to do The Goonies, National Treasure, and I was going to do all of these like treasure hunt movies, but – I didn't follow through on that.
Bummer.
I know.
You're interesting, Chris. Angels and Demons is a far better book than the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, Zach, I don't read. Get over yourself.
We know. If you're looking for a bad time, you should watch the third one.
There's a third one?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
Does it have Tom Hanks in it?
Inferno is what it's called.
Inferno, thank you.
Inferno?
Is it also directed by Ron Howard?
I don't think it is. But it might be. I don't know. Who directed it, Chris? You're looking it up.
Yeah, it was Ron Howard.
Oh, no shit.
The guy comes back from garbage.
See, like, these stories, like, they're not that great, but, like, they still make for good reads. Like, so, it's the type of book you'd find in the airport. Like, they're perfect airport books.
I read the book Hillbilly Elegy. And the book is phenomenal, but like, I literally started watching the trailer on Netflix and I saw directed by Ron Howard and I was like, nope.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Listen to the plot of this one. Famous symbologist Robert Langdon follows a trail of clues tied to Dante, the great medieval poet. When Langdon wakes up in an Italian hospital with amnesia, he teams up with Sienna Books, a doctor he hopes will help him recover his memories. Together, they race across Europe against the clock to stop a madman from unleashing a virus that could wipe out half of the world's population.
Yeah. See, in the book, it's way more interesting what happens in the end. Like, they completely change the
third one?
It's the fourth one.
What's the third one?
The Lost Symbol?
Yeah. Takes when place in Washington, D.C. But that was always the big question. They, like, skipped – they like it was in production, and then they stopped doing it, and then they kind of just shelved it, and then they – Inferno came out, and then they just made Inferno instead. I don't really know why.
The doctor helps Tom Hanks regain his memories.
Dude, like, this one takes place in D.C. That one I could kind of believe.
I remember liking in that book, actually. I mean, it's been a long time since I read it, but I do remember having fun with it.
I've only read the first two. Actually, I don't need to finish the Da Vinci Code.
It gets kind of dumb at the end, but.
Do you need to read Angels and Demons before you can read the other ones, or is it they kind of they can act as standalone books?
This is more just like the characters are the same. Like the storylines don't really cross each other.
I think the only continuing thread through any of the books is like Robert Langdon's relationships. Like, I think, like, because in the first book, like, I think he ends up, like, marrying that woman. And then there's like a couple references to us to like where she's located in the world compared to Robert Langdon in Da Vinci Code, but there's nothing like that carries over.
Fucking
other than that.
I'm gonna have to watch Inferno this week.
Have to.
Yeah, you've got it. You already did the first two. But yeah, I wasn't super crazy about it when I saw it. What'd you watch, Zach?
Nothing.
Nothing? Zip?
I watched YouTube videos about sleight of hand card tricks and Letterkenny.
Sick.
Oh, fuck yeah. What season are you on of Letterkenny?
I just finished the third one.
What happens to season four? Fuck. Maybe I'll pick up a season four this week.
I'm loving it. I think it's great.
Oh, it's so funny, dude. It's so funny. Squirrely Dan, like the whole crew, you can see that they get more refined as the show goes on. It dips for a little bit, but like when the first season came out that was produced by Hulu, it dips a little bit. But then the second season that was produced by Hulu is just dynamite. Like, it's just so great.
I just watched every episode that basically it starts with them like sitting around and like drinking, and they're always like just shooting the shit. And so there's one episode where they're talking about like if ants could ride skidoos.
Oh my gosh. That's such a good bit, dude. Oh my gosh. There's one episode, and me and Alyssa, we still have this as like an inside joke between us, but like where they're talking about the sounds that the guys make in porn. It's just like they're like, oh fuck yeah,
Like, Gary, it's not really a question. It's more like a yes.
Oh my gosh. There's one bit in the show where they talk about they're talking about like, could they masturbate for 30 days straight, but like the number day they have to masturbate to is the amount of times they have to masturbate that day.
Ugh.
So like on day one you have to do it the first, and then on day 30 you have to do it 30 times, and they were talking about whether they could do it or not. Oh my fucking gosh. To this day, one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Oh, dude, plus, the one where they're doing like the steak and they're talking about how they cook steak. He's like, S&P is the choice for me.
And then there's that episode where like it keeps like the recurring thing is like someone says a word that someone hates and then they just constantly use that word. Like, what's her name? Katie's like, oh, don't say that word. And like, what? Moist? And they just go through like a bunch of things using the word moist. And it's so funny.
Yeah, it's good shit. They're so good at what they do. Like, you should go on YouTube and look at the original stuff that, like, inspired it.
So, I love Wayne, but, like, dude, my favorite character might be Gail, because she's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. Gail is so friggin' funny. Dude, you want to come back here and try a Haitian taco?
Like, oh, hey, Gail, how was your night? Oh, I flicked this bean more than a Starbucks barista.
Oh my god. Oh my fucking gosh, it's so good. Gail is so I still can't get over the shit out of that ass. Like, dang girl, you shit out of that ass.
Oh, she's so funny.
Oh man. Oh my gosh.
And how she always, whenever she's talking, she's like moving her hips as if she's straddling someone. Every time she talks, that's how she's like moving her body. It's so funny.
What are you doing? Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. Oh man, I gotta watch that shit. Alyssa's been watching 90 Day Fiancé, and I'm trying to like not watch 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh dude, you totally should.
She's on season 6, episode 2 right now, and I watched a part of this episode with her, and I just cannot stand it.
Rachel and I crushed a season of Married at First Sight.
Dude, 90 Day Fiancé is hilarious.
I can't do it. Like, it just, it makes me so angry that this is what's on TV.
Oh, yeah, it's fucked, dude. We just got to roll with it.
Just kind of got to roll with the punches, Chris. You know, enjoy it while you can.
Rich and I think it's funny to watch just because it's like we look at our relationship and then we've been like, wow, there are people that are there in life.
There's one show that's a reality TV show that I said I would watch, and it's about a bachelor style competition where this woman is trying to figure out who's going to be the father of her child.
Oh, that's interesting. So she's picking someone to inseminate her?
Yes, she's picking somebody to artificially inseminate her, but they have to go through a competition to be the one to have this child.
Is it something like they're just going to – the winner donates their sperm, or do they get to insert it theirs themselves?
I don't know, actually. I mean, I assume if all goes well, she's not going to say no, but
– why wouldn't you just get sperm from all your contestants at the beginning and then just kind of like weed them out from there?
Well, because then all you have all this sperm that you don't need.
Yeah, that's wasted sperm, Zach.
Well, I'm just saying, what are you gonna do with it at that point? Like, you have it
throw free. It away. I don't know.
Do you think that's what they have to do? Is they have to, like, all the guests just have to give them a pre-splooge so that they can analyze the DNA to see if it's solid stuff, and if it is, then
they're that's actually
pick someone that's like infertile.
They all come in a cup and then they run DNA test. That's the first episode. It's just random men coming into cups. And then they're looking through the sample, and they narrow it down to like the 12 contestants. They're running DNA analysis.
That.
It's all in the same cup. They just pass it around.
They just create this little like pool of it, and they're just like, wow, that's a lot of semen, dude.
One of them should stick.
And one of them, there's like a little pink in there because somebody was bleeding, and they're like, fuck, who's the bleeder?
Have you? Who's on that season of 90 Day Fiancé?
The one she's watching now?
Yeah. Is George and Nafisa on it?
I have no idea. I know one of them is – this guy lives with his mom, and they share a car. And he's marrying somebody who's from Brazil.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That gets good.
Is that the meme? Is that the couple that the memes are based off of?
No, that's Big Ed.
Oh, that's Big Ed. Okay.
I know Big Ed. Am I right on that? His name's Big Ed?
Ed, yeah.
Yeah. I refuse to watch Big Ed. I'm sorry. I'm not going to humor that situation. I just can't.
Where is she watching it? On Netflix or Hulu?
Hulu. There's season 1 through 7.
Oh, perfect.
I want to know how they got the show approved in the first place. There's There's one season I watched where I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It's like this girl named Nicole, and she goes to Morocco.
Yeah, she's an idiot.
They're on there for 2 seasons, and I'm sitting there just clenching my fist the entire time. Like, this is the stupidest relationship that I've seen in my entire life.
She keeps telling her mom, no, he's going to be great. I love him.
Dude, she goes to Morocco to be with this guy, and then she cheats on him twice, and he's still going to marry her.
And then she gets mad because he won't hold her hand in public. And he's exactly. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm Muslim. We don't do that. It's like, ugh, that's so stupid. I love that show.
So is this essentially like Married at First Sight, where like –
no, these people have essentially had a long-standing relationship for, like, years sometimes.
Oh, and then they put them together, living together, and see what happens, essentially?
Dude, oh, have you seen the Pedro and Chantel stuff?
Pedro and Chantel. Is Pedro the guy
who comes to the public?
Yes, and, like, she has 2 daughters, and he's just like, oh, so you're just using him for sex.
No.
No? Who am That's I thinking of? Pedro and Chantel? I don't think I've seen Pedro and Chantel then.
He's from the Dominican Republic, and she like has this crazy family. And she lies to her parents and says he's coming over on a student visa, but he's coming on a marriage visa.
Yeah, and like her brother goes up to her, and she's like, I do not approve. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen like the episode where the brother fights with her.
And like the brother looks like Patrick Mahomes.
Dude, his hair is so good though.
No, I as I've been listing off, oh yeah, I know that couple. I know that couple. I know that couple. Yeah, I don't like this show.
You're so stupid.
Anyways, what you got this week, Jake?
I really just been watching Game of Thrones. We're almost done. We're through season 6.
Jesus Christ, you've been fucking hammering down.
Yeah, dude, we've been going wild. Like, literally, like, 5 hours a night we'll watch Game of Thrones.
That's cool.
It is actually really cool, like, seeing the story unfold. Like, all, like, really, like, rapid succession. Because, like, things like, storylines, like, get started, right? Like, instead of spending years with it, like, you're just moving through it. So, like, you know, by the end of season 6, when sort of, like, pieces are kind of getting together, it's like, shit, like, a lot's happened, but, like, because we've been just following it through, like, you just see everything, like, all, like, you know, all within a couple weeks. So I feel like it's, like, way easier to follow and, like, easy to piece things together and kind of see, like, connections of things and be like, oh, shit, like, they did hint at that here and whatever.
Hmm. Oh, shit.
Alyssa started it this week.
I will not watch it again.
I mean, I've been enjoying it still. Like, I don't know. There's something about the story and whatnot that I still fall into. Like, even though I know where it's going or whatever, and it may not have been like what I would have wanted. Like, I don't know. Like, it's so fun to go back through it, I guess.
Have you seen what season is the Battle of the Bastards in?
Season 6. So we just watched that last night.
How's that looking 4K?
It's not bad. It's the big thing that I've noticed on the 4K, two things that really stick out to me. One is lighting. So like when you're in King's Landing, a lot of the lights, wherever there's lighting, like candles, windows behind somebody, like they're so, it's very blown out, like very bright.
Yeah.
That sometimes it's like a bit glaring. And then, or there's like, you know, like when you switch to the night, like when you go back north, like you go to the Night's Watch, like there's a very distinct color change that you can like tell in the tinting of it that like changes everything to sort of a bluish color. Mm. Like it's this much colder feeling. And then things are like very vibrantly orange. Like when you go to Essos and spend time with Daenerys. So there's like really big like lighting differences in that regard. And then the other thing has been the CG sticks out quite a bit.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So like in the, I would say in the first 4 seasons, the direwolves look terrible. Like very bad. Like when they're like walking along, like it's so easy to tell like the animation of it and the seams of it. Like it just feels very unnatural. Same with the dragons. Like a lot of it feels really unnatural, looks kind of weird. And then like there's just like weird editing where you can clearly tell like a prop is being used or something. And CGI's filling the rest in. Direwolves? What?
So those aren't real direwolves?
No, sadly not.
Dude, I wish they were real. Dude, I'd love to ride a wolf.
But the most amazing thing that I've really enjoyed watching.
What?
Yeah, we know wolves are real, yeah.
Chris said he'd love to ride a wolf, and I was like, they are real. Like, you could.
Do you think one is big enough to ride?
Yeah, absolutely.
No way, dude.
Dude, there are definitely wild wolves that are big enough to ride.
No way there is. I bet a big wolf, there's no way that it could support my weight. There's no friggin' way.
When you say a big wolf, how big do you think the biggest wolf is?
I would say like 175 pounds, maybe.
Oh, you're fucked, bud. There's got to be at least a 400-pound wolf out there.
There's no way there's a 400-pound wolf.
I'm willing to bet money on it.
I'm looking it up right now.
Biggest wolf.
I say 200 pounds.
So Mackenzie Valley wolf.
Yep. Yeah. It's a big old fucking wolf, bud.
That's a big wolf, but 400 pounds big? No way. 100, anyway. Up to 175 pounds on the fucking dot.
Yeah, there you go. I would say, Chris, the two big things that stand out for me, the costuming. Like, when you get, like, really nice close-ups of somebody, like, you can, like, see the detail in, like, a dress or, like, the patchwork or, like, the leather work of, like, a knight's, you know, like, leather suit or, like, the armor that they wear. Or, like, those details on the sword. Like, it all looks – that looks really good.
Yeah.
It is really cool. And then I think the score is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I had that downloaded on Spotify for the longest time.
Like, the violin work is really good. Mm. So I will say, the Battle of the Bastards might have been, that you could see some seams. The fight at Hardhome was super cool.
I want to see how good it's going to look at the final battle of when they fight the White Walkers.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. What was cool, Black Battle of Blackwater was really cool. Like that green was cool. was crazy.
Yeah, but that looked, was really good.
That really looked good. Most of it looks great. It's mostly just like anytime you can tell that they've done some sort of like animation work or like CG work, you can kind of see like the compositing of it.
What the fuck was that?
What, like the blockiness of things, like how it really doesn't like flow along? What?
I'm sorry, I'm just hearing somebody scream in the background. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, Rachel's FaceTiming with her friend for her birthday.
It's Rachel's birthday?
No, it's her friend. It's her friend's birthday.
Okay. Tell Rachel I said happy birthday.
It's not her birthday, but I'll pass it along. Anyways.
You
missed it, so I'll let her know.
I know. Just tell her, like, a post, happy post-birthday. All right. What did I watch? I actually logged some stuff this week. Oh, I had a bird theme going. I watched Lady Bird and Birdman.
Okay, they're very similar films.
I watched Lady Bird for the first time. Kind of hard to like that movie when I don't like Lady Bird.
Yeah.
I find her very annoying. I like her best friend. I like the friendship she has. And I like her, the relationship that she has with her mother. I like the relationship she has with her father. I guess I just like the people around her, but I don't like her, you know? I think it's – I don't understand why it's in the early 2000s. Just kind of seems needless to have it in that time period for me.
Matthew's been payoff, bud.
Crash into me. That's true.
What year does it take place again?
Like 2002? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he says the only thing cool about this year is that it's a palindrome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like – it was a lot of cool stuff in it. Timothée Chalamet is nothing special in this movie. I don't understand why people went crazy for him after this came out. I don't know. It just wasn't anything to write home about, in my personal opinion. It's a good movie. Like, it looked good. And I think that, like, the dynamics of the relationships were really interesting to watch unfold. But, like, I don't care about Lady Bird. I just don't like her. I don't know. But then to the other Bird movie, Birdman. I would like to have seen more Emma Stone. I think her character is probably one of the more interesting characters in the movie. Edward Norton is just an absolute eyesore in this movie. He's just so hard to watch. And then Michael Keaton, as always, absolutely fantastic. I think the novelty of the edited one shot was obviously the biggest draw for this movie, but kind of gets tedious after a while. Like, it doesn't need to be that way. And then they just kind of give up on it on the last scene, which seemed kind of annoying. Overall, like, it's still a good movie. Both movies are good movies. A lot of things that I didn't like about it. Both of them.
I think I watched that last year for the top 50 of the decade, and I remember pulling something new from it and thinking about it in a different way, and then I've now since completely forgotten what that different way of thinking about it was.
Must have really stuck with you, man.
Because I remember having a conversation about with Andrew about what the ending meant, and I had just watched it. I was like, oh yeah, I pulled these things from it, like we were talking about it, and I've forgotten all of that. I don't even remember.
I mean, the only thing I could realistically draw from the ending is that, like, he got the gratification that he was looking for. He got the gratification that he ended up wanting in the end.
I think it's all supposed to be very literal.
I don't think so. But like I said, I don't remember what the reasons were that I'll have to watch it again, I guess.
Do you think he was literally flying?
No.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well. Edward Norton got a boner in the movie. That was kind of funny.
Oh, hell yeah. I wish it would have been Ryan Gosling in that role.
That would have been a lot better, I think.
I think that could have been really good. Or Miles Teller.
He fucked up in Uri 2.
But yeah, no. Yeah, I agree. I wish there was more Emma Stone.
I wish there was more Galifianakis in that movie.
Dude, I do too.
There's the perfect amount of Zach Galifianakis.
I don't think you can have too much of that guy. I wish, like, at the end of the movie, you know, instead of it cutting to the hospital where he's laying, you know, you kind of just zoomed in and you had Zach Galifianakis between two ferns. And then sitting next to him was Michael Keaton with his nose blown off.
Perfect. So the only other thing I really watched this week worth mentioning is I watched the beginning, the making of episode one. I had to work from home on Friday, so I kind of just wanted something on the background that I could just listen to. So I threw on this making of documentary. And it was pretty interesting. It didn't really go in as in-depth as I thought it would. It's only like an hour long. But it was kind of interesting to see some of the behind-the-scenes things, and a couple things that stood out to me that I wanted to share with you guys was, one, the way they filmed Jar Jar is hilarious. Are you aware with how they did it?
No.
So they had the actor, right? He had the makeup on his skin, whatever, like his arms and his legs, and he had the costume on. But then what they did was they put a Jar Jar Binks head on top of his head. So essentially, it was like this actor with a Jar Jar Binks thing resting on top of his head, and that's how he acted it. And then they like CG'd out his head and like neck to be Jar Jar's neck. So like just watching the motion capture performance is pretty hilarious, because it's like, I don't know how you look at this guy with a Jar Jar Binks head on his head and like take this any of this acting seriously. And then you do get to see a little bit of like the casting of Anakin. So you get to see Jake Lloyd's audition. It's pretty bad.
Did you guys hear that he's back?
Jake Lloyd?
Anakin Skywalker. The guy who's playing Anakin, he's back for the
They brought Hayden Christensen back.
Hayden Christensen, yeah, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Jake Lloyd.
Yeah, I was like, what? They brought him back?
No, I thought that's who you were talking about.
No. Jake, this is the Phantom Menace, so it's Jake Lloyd as Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, one of the things they show is them filming the dinner scene when they're eating, like with Qui-Gon Jinn and Jar Jar in his little hut, and they're discussing Anakin racing for them. He keeps calling Coruscant Coruscant. So they have to stop filming like every time and like tell him how to pronounce it. And he's like getting kind of frustrated because he's like, I'm sorry, I'm just used to saying Coruscant. And then they're like, George Lucas is just like, no, it's fine. Just like, it's Coruscant. Like, just say it that way.
I wonder he ruined Star Wars. He's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, so it was kind of funny to see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but so much left so much more to be desired. And that's all I really got besides watching Elf. And the only thing I'll say is that with each passing year, it gets less and less funny.
Elf is so overrated.
That's it for me.
That's all I got. Chris, what do you got?
I'm tapped.
So you guys down to do Tenet next week?
Sure.
Sure.
Because I'll have it in the Vudu this week. I have it pre-ordered, so I think it'll come on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Down to Clown. Are you buying it or?
Yeah, I already pre-ordered it on 4K. I
thought you meant so like you were renting it.
No, no, I already pre-ordered it. So when it comes in, I'll get the digital code, and then it'll be on Vudu.
Word up.
And if I get one of those, I don't know if you, Chris, you obviously don't experience this, but Zach, I've been getting this thing where because you linked your Vudu account to the Movies Anywhere thing, anytime I get a Movies Anywhere, like redeemable code, it won't allow me to upload it.
No, I don't. It's automatically linked.
To yours, right, but it's not registered on my end. So I've had to burn like some good digital copies.
Oh, I don't know.
But so if it's a Movies Anywhere thing, I'll just text Zach the digital code so that it gets on there.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with an episode of Tenet. As always, stay safe out there. Have a great week. Bye-bye.